Don't you love today's readings? This wonderful story of Philip, this strange little guy that we don't hear much about, encounters a huge entourage on its way, a parade of people with armed guards and everything else, which you had to do when you traveled back in those days. And he runs up to the senior officer of Queen Candace in Ethiopia and busts in and says, "What are you reading?" And the guy says, "I'm reading Isaiah, but I'm having a little trouble with it." "Join the club." I mean, how could you read Isaiah without having somebody explain some of the things that are going on? Steve read so beautifully more from the letter of John. When we were seminarians in Washington, D.C., we often went to worship on Sunday over at St. Elizabeth's Hospital, the famous mental institution in Washington, for the hopelessly insane. And these letters of John made people cry. They were filled with comfort. It gave them courage and insight and a real inspiration. These words about love casting out fear. What a statement. And what a goal. And what a reminder that when we are afraid, all kinds of negativity descends on us, including that of punishment. We might as well call today Love Sunday, and we might as well do so because it's also Mother's Day. And there is such a thing as mother's love. It's very different than a father's love. And mother's love is filled with sacrifice and with giving and with openness and with forgiveness and never, ever counting the cost. The Gospel of John is very different from the other three Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Matthew, Mark, and Luke tell us stories about things that Jesus does. And draws all kinds of conclusions about his divinity from the stories. John turns that upside down. He starts with the very beginning in his opening sentences and tells us that Jesus is in fact divine. And from the very beginning, we understand that his ministry and his office as Savior takes place from the very first paragraph. There is no birth narrative in John. There are no early stories of Jesus in John. It begins with his coming to be baptized and to begin his ministry. And all throughout John's Gospel, we have I am sayings. I am the bread of life. I am the light. I am the good shepherd, about which we had wonderful activities last week. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And in today's gospel, I am the true vine. All of these are descriptions of how the divine personality of Jesus wanders this earth and teaches and gives us inspiration and instruction as to how we live our lives and how we see each other. Well, California is a pretty good place to talk about vineyards. And all of us, I'm sure, have made an opportunity, I hope, to go visit different vineyards around the state. And we see the careful culture that it takes to make good grapes. I remember standing one time up there in Napa and watching this fellow carefully trimming around this perfect set of grapes that came down like an upside-down pyramid with the last grape at the bottom. And of course, if back in New York State where I went to college, if those freeze, that one on the bottom is the real prize grape. That's the sweet one. Anyway, the whole idea is to understand that you perfect fruit comes from a well-tended vine and at the hands of a very skilled vintner. I love one of the translations that I ran across for today's gospel. Jesus says, "I am the true vine, and God is like a mother who lovingly and carefully tends the vineyard garden. She wants the vineyard to grow and be prosperous, so she removes every branch from the vine that bears no fruit." I love that he put that in the feminine, because of the love and care and nurture. Years ago, I heard a rabbi tell us that, in fact, the very word Yahweh has within it female overtones. He told us that Yahweh is the sound that a mother camel makes when she's nursing her young. Now, how would he know that? This was back in Milwaukee. But anyway, it makes a wonderful sense that God is mother and father to us all. I'm often interested in the analogies that Paul uses about describing our love and our work with each other. And Paul doesn't talk about us being part of a vine. He talks about us being a body, a physical body. And we are all parts of that body. We have fingernails. We have fingers. We have hair. We have brains. We have toes. We have all of these things which interact in perfect harmony together. And when the body is acting in perfect harmony together, the body is able to function. That's a wonderful analogy. Those of us who have played in sports, for example, know that if you've got a sprained ankle, you can't play. And your whole body hurts because of that injury. I remember once trying to play baseball with a hangnail. And my finger was swollen up so much I couldn't even grip the bat. You know, what a little thing a hangnail is. And yet, how it totally engrosses the entire body. I love Paul's analogy. It's very useful. But today's analogy of us being part of a vine goes in totally different directions. We are always connected to the vine, which is Jesus. The vine is always tended by God. And we often find ways in which we need and see the pruning take place, where we come back stronger and still able to bear good fruit. I was very shocked this week to walk down my favorite rose garden right up here on the wall of our chapel, and all the roses are gone. The pruner has been at work. But wait for a couple of weeks, they'll be back. And last December, they were all cut back. I can't believe how much they get cut back. And this fall, this spring, one of the roses grew 6 feet tall with a great big cabbage-sized rose right on the top, there to greet me and wish me Happy Easter. That is the work of the vine dresser. In that wonderful letter of John that we heard this morning, we heard the simple words, "God is love." Put it in mathematical terms, God equals love. And the letter goes to tell us that wherever love is taking place, God is there. You know, that's a remarkable, simple statement. It's like E equals MC squared. It's like Einstein's formula. It is so simple. And yet it is so powerful. God equals love. What is the fruit of this love. Well, I'll tell you, yesterday afternoon, I felt so proud to be a member of this parish. I felt love pouring all over us. And I was sitting here thinking about all the people who participate in the life that we have here together. And the teachers and the youth workers and all of you who call and visit people and the hospitality that we show over a huge range of activities. And the amazing generosity that we have both here and in our community. In our singing, in our preaching, in our worship, all is done with love. All is done with caring, and all is done with joy. In this translation I referred to a minute ago, verse 5 tickles me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who live forever in me and I in them will always bear an abundance of good fruit. Because apart from me, you can't do a darn thing. And all existence becomes nothing but weeds. Why would you choose not to live forever in me and instead become like rubbish that is cast into the fire and burned? More than once, I've sat with someone who's reaching the later years of life and looks back at what has taken place, and it all seems like a dream. And all doesn't seem very meaningful. I've also attended as contrast, the retirement of a beloved teacher, where hundreds of her students came back to tell her what a wonderful inspiration and model she was in their years in high school. What a contrast between a life that seemed to have drifted, and a life filled with purpose and love. In our own family, we were kind of amused. The obstetrician who delivered me, Dr. Rosenthal at Michael Reese Hospital in Chicago, retired. And the hospital decided to throw a big event for him. And as they went down the roster, they realized he delivered 20,000 babies. I was a cast of 20,000. And my sister and I went, and there were 5,000 who attended his retirement. This is what happens when a life is lived connected to the vine, where love is the motivation and love is the fruit. I say, there it is. Last week, we were called to become good shepherds. This week, we're called to become fruitful and fulfilled branches in God's divine plan. Amen.